Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, family. Welcome to another edition of Dare to Win, the Us Lifting Us weekly radio broadcast. Tonight's question, what is liberation? We are excited. We have a very special guest speaker. The heraldess, Sister Adama, will be with us to explore this most important question. What is liberation? Stay tuned. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back. And good evening, family. And yes, indeed, our roots do begin in Africa. As our elder and esteemed ancestor, Dr. John Henry Clark, so often said, it wasn't a matter of where the slave ships dropped us off, it's where they picked us up. And so, welcome to another edition of Dare to Win, where we have a sober discussion of the economic and political plight of Black people and the global cooperative economic model that provides an exact method of gaining economic and political self-determination. We are building the global machinery for our economic freedom and sovereignty and the methodology to pass it forward to future generations. My name is Brother Anti. I'm a member of the board of directors of Us Lifting Us, and I'll be serving this evening as our host for tonight's program. Before we get to our guest speaker, just want to let you know to join the conversation. The call-in number is 929-477-2789. Again, the call-in number to join the conversation, 929-477-2789. You dial that number and then press the number 1 on your keypad. That will raise your hand in the studio and we'll open the lines and hear your question or your comment. For those of you that are joining us via the internet, go to our website, usliftingus.com. That's usliftingus.com. You'll see the Listen Live tab on the webpage. Click on that, and that will take you into the studio, and you can enjoy the program from there. As we said, we are excited to have coming back to the Ulu Airways none other than the heraldess, Sister Adama. She's been with us on a couple of occasions, and every time she's here, it's always a powerful and deep experience. And so for those of us who may not be familiar with Sister Adama, she's been on this journey since the 1970s. She's owned her own natural restaurant where she's prepared raw and natural recipes. Currently, she operates the Mother Earth's House of Blessings, where she provides counseling and support for people who have made the decision to take control over their lives and to begin rebuilding themselves at the cellular level. You're going to hear that expression a couple of times throughout this evening's program. And so it's important, if we're serious about economic liberation and political sovereignty, our health is the bedrock of how we begin that journey. And this sister can help us more than just about anybody to get our arms around this topic, take a hard look at where we are, and to figure out the steps necessary to do the work so that we can begin the process of cleansing and healing. So without further ado, let me just say welcome, Sister Adama. How are you feeling this evening? And share with us any words of welcome you care to share, and then we'll start the conversation.
Thank you so much, Brother Ati. I am so delighted. I'm so happy. I'm absolutely fabulous and maturing graciously, very thankful for answered prayer. And in order to really open this up, I'd like to say, forever present, cosmic supreme being, oh absolute, absolute reality. You. There is, oh, absolute and supreme intelligence, O Creator, that is everywhere. We're so grateful and so thankful that we each are these living, loving, intelligent, potent, and immortal points of your own absolute and supreme intelligence, and we rejoice in every opportunity we can to remember and to be reminded that we dwell by virtue of your presence, for you are beating our hearts, breathing us as perfectly and divinely designed us. You are the intelligence that has the earth spinning, the sun blazing, and we are adrift and afloat in the reality of your presence that is beginningless, endless, infinite, and eternal. We're so grateful and thankful that we were told to love you with our whole body, heart, mind, with all of our might, to consciously care to live the quality of life that is an honor and a glory unto the lineages through whom we've come, to come to that place and space where we realize there is nothing but you. So we are delighted to love ourselves and love everyone else as we love ourselves, as our degree of obeyance and obedience in loving you with our whole body, heart, mind, with all of our might. We give thanks for those that have come to us, through us, and those who've yet to come, and the cosmic trust that you've gifted us, that we are the expansion, the insurance of the progression of us as a global humanity. We give thanks that that which needs to be shared, that which needs to be expressed, that which needs to be internalized, that which needs to be harmonized with, that it is given forth in this time. And when we leave this place in this now moment of messaging, that we are stronger than we were when we came. Thank you. And so I'm so grateful. Ashe. So grateful for all of you who are taking the time to listen and prayerfully you hear. The issue for us in our now moment is to realize that for all of what we've acquired, all of what we're striving to accomplish, there are greater and greater numbers of us who are dying younger and younger and sicker and sicker. So therefore, there's been no progression. No matter how many degrees we've gotten from the educational or miseducational institutions, no matter how high we've gone in terms of the theological, the religious, the spiritual, the historical, the cultural, we are in a place and space where our liberation has to become intensely intentional for each one of us. Liberation from sickness, illness, disease, despair, depression, domination under a culture of people who have instituted sickness, illness, disease, and death as multi-trillion dollar business and has turned ourselves, our lives, our families into commodities within it. We've become a cash cow in the system of illness, sickness, disease, and death, and I'm the one to say we do not have to participate with it. We are in a place and space where everything that we require in order to be healed is available to us, and to come to a point and place where we realize that there is no political consciousness that is greater than vivid self-expression and self-representation in our wholeness, spiritual, mental, emotional, physical, financial, and in integrity at the cellular level with the who that we each are as these living, loving, intelligent, potent, and immortal points of the presence of the Absolute that has designed us perfectly and divinely, and these bodies were intended to be temples for where we meet the intelligence that we refer to as God, for where we learn how to walk in the godliness, the righteousness, to be in a place and space where we are not walking as royals, but we're walking as divinity personified. It may seem to be a far reach away, but the absolute truth of who we are was stolen from us thousands of years ago, identity theft in terms of who we each are as these points of the presence and as points of presence of that entity that we refer to as God. But godliness and righteousness and right alignment with the intelligence of existence is the thing that we have to really reach for. It does not come naturally as a result of being fed like kids, being fed the flesh of dead animals, the aborted fetuses of chickens, the pus and mucus of cows, artificially colored, artificially flavored, NutraSweet, aspartame, all manners of sugary sweets and whatnot, BHA, BHT, iron filings in our cornflakes, and all of the progressive poisoning of our children, to understand that a system that poisons and undermines their children is a system and a people who are destined to die. In order for us to really understand liberation, we must understand the methodology of how oppression has been to oppress us at our cellular functioning, so that our cells, our brain cells, our liver cells, our cells of our lungs, we're made with trillions of cells that are now heavy laden and heavy burdened with all kinds of chemicals that have modified our behavior to the degree to which we are not responding correctly and directly to being warred against, to being under siege, to being marginalized, anesthetized, inebriated, intoxicated, stupefied, miseducated, religiously indoctrinated, to the degree to which no matter how long we live, at the end of it is death. Now, because we're already in the realm of equality, I'm saying we should not be dying at all. Liberation is freedom from death.
So, Sister Adama, if I'm hearing you correctly, as you talk about liberation and there are all of these theories and plans to how we accomplish this, if I'm hearing you correctly, you're taking us back to the very root of the problem, which is the way we are eating is part of the boycott of the death industry. In other words, the first level of our oppression is at the cellular level. We are eating incorrectly, and therefore we are participating in the poisoning of our own bodies. So that too often when people start talking about becoming vegetarian or vegan or raw or any way modifying what we consume, people want to turn off and stop listening. We want to get back to the strategies of how we overcome white supremacy and these various forces that we know are operating against us. But you're trying to get us to hear that the liberation process begins at the tip of our fork in terms of what we're actually putting into our bodies. Say a little bit more about that and help us to understand that the instrument of this oppression is what you call the death industry.
Exactly. Now, the issue is the beef industry, the tobacco industry. Now, our people were enslaved behind sugar because Europeans were already addicted to sugar, right? They were already addicted to tobacco. So we were enslaved behind sugar, tobacco, cotton. You understand, there is no way for them to have created their contrived rich or wealth without our labor. They could not do what we were able to do from can't see in the morning till can't see at night. The issue for us is that we have not progressed in the sense that we are enslaved under what we now refer to as employment. And as a result of the intention that has been in effect that we heard when we were youth, that there were those who were on a world-conquering rampage. That world-conquering rampage never stopped. So when the world became aware as to the ill treatment, the hanging, the beating, the raping, the enslavement of Africans, particularly here on the North American continent, but when the picture got bigger, and they became so much aware of the atrocities, and we began to raise up, then the methodology of our oppression went deeper into a conscious behavior modification, chemical assault upon ourselves. Now, nobody ever asks what makes these people feel entitled to be able to capture you, beat you, rape you, enslave you, cut your pregnant bellies open, castrate you, set you afire, and then they need you, but they classified you as less than human, that we had no rights if they had the responsibility to respect. We didn't ask that question. If we had asked that question, what makes these people this way, we would have gotten an answer that they're this way because their blood burns hot with the rot of pigs and cows and turkeys and chicken and hens and crocodile and alligator and monkey brain and all the things that people eat all over the world. And then you add tobacco and alcohol and white sugar and white bread and dough and paste and flour. When we were children, flour and water make paste. So we learned to eat pancakes and waffles, the cereals and all of this. Now, our bodies are 80% water. So water and flour make paste. So all the pancakes, the waffles, the bread, the biscuits, the dinner rolls, all of this stuff, the oatmeal, all of this stuff is creating mucus. Mucus becomes the blockage. It becomes acidic, and it blocks any nutrient absorption. So now we have people who are having to carry around their CPAP machines to go to sleep and their oxygen tanks and all of the ones who are suffering and whatnot because they can't breathe. So I'm just saying, the body is perfectly and divinely designed, and the reason that we're in the condition we're in is because it is an orchestrated agenda that is genocide and depopulation that has been in full effect for generations.
I was listening to a video that you sent out a couple of weeks ago. And you're suggesting that one of the first steps that we can take to overcome this oppression is to boycott the death industry. So to talk about that a little bit, because it's really a radical notion when you talk about, walk us back to the revelation that you had when you were a student in Florida in the psychology major. You looked around and had the realization that there were these industries that were intentionally poisoning us, and you made the personal decision you weren't going to give them any more of your money. So start us from there and help us to understand this very simple way of boycotting the death industry.
Right, and as a junior at the University of Florida, 30,000 students, 1,500 black, I was a psychology major. The sociology statistics were saying that 20,000 black Americans die every year from sugar diabetes, another 15,000 die every year from complications from obesity, another 8,000 or 12,000 from cancer, the lung, 8,000 from cancer, the pancreas, and the numbers kept rising. My head begins to spin. And when I raise my hand and I ask, what's the cause and what's the cure? They say, we don't know the cause, we don't know the cure, but because of affirmative action, you're a double minority. You're both black and female. You can get paid for doing the research. And, of course, we can show you how to slant your study to prove whatever it is you're hypothesizing. And based upon the applicability of that research to science, to medicine, to intelligence, to economics, whatever, then you can continue to get paid. That's when I went to God and I asked God, show me what this is. Show me what this is. And what I realized is at 7, I didn't want to eat the meat. At 7, I didn't want to eat the lamb. I didn't want to eat the chicken. I had to be beaten to eat it. At 7, I was throwing my parents' alcohol away. At 7, I was throwing their cigarettes away. Here I am, 19 going on 20. I'm still eating the meat. I'm smoking. I'm drinking. And then I looked at whose businesses these are. And I realized these are not our businesses. And then they were trying to justify in the studies that we as a people are inherently inferior to them as a result of the disproportionate percentage of us who are affected by all of the disease. And then by the time you factor in our illegitimate children, our teenage pregnancies, our abortion rate, our single-headed households, our divorce rate, our incarceration, our juvenile delinquency and whatnot, this is the evidence of our inherent inferiority to them. And so I went on a personal economic boycott. I'm not giving you motherfucking another goddamn dime. And I went from eating absolutely everything to having fresh fruit in the morning and huge salads in the evening. And I went from 127 pounds to 103 in less than 45 days with no additional exercise. But my mind got clear that I did not have to labor over my books anymore. I could read the chapter. I could go to class. I could hear what was being said. I could read between the lines. I could hear what was not being said. And then I could form the critical questions and brought my professors to their freaking knees. They cried like babies with me. Now, multiply that times 40 million of us, that we stop undermining ourselves. We stop supporting a people whose lineages have beat us and raped us and declared that we're less than human and whatnot, and then they can shoot our children down in the streets and we have no recourse. Why would it be so hard for us to come to a point and place where we realize that we were perfectly and divinely designed by an absolute and supreme intelligence, and we do not have to have any of the stuff that we grew up with, and we would still grow, but we would have outthought this. Our education has given us license to be blackface under white stupidity. We never had to be validated by them. We never had to prove our parity and our equality with those who were murderers, rapists, liars, and all of that. We never had that as responsibility. Our responsibility is to stand on behalf of the lineages through whom we've come and to honor ourselves. So what does that mean? That means we're breatharian first. Oxygenation is the necessity. We have to have that. It is the animating, maintaining, and sustaining force of our lives. Our bodies are 80% water, like the earth is 80% water. 80% of our diet should be water-based, fruit, vegetation, and the minerals that are in the herbs and the clay. Why clay? Because clay is the natural detoxifier for the nitrates, nitrites, BHA, BHT, all of the chemicals, the antibiotics, the hormones, the pharmaceutical residues. We don't realize it. If you smoke cigarettes from the time that you were 16 to 30 and now you're 70, those chemicals are still in your tissues. They are not designed to get out. We must come to a place and space where we realize that we are not human eaters or useless feeders. We are intelligences of existence, male, the progenitor of lineages, female, the perpetuator of lineages. We're mothers, we're sons and daughters, grandsons, granddaughters, great-grandsons, great-granddaughters, great-great-great-grandsons, great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-sons and daughters, and we're mothers and fathers and destined to be grandmothers and grandfathers, great-grandmothers, great-grandfathers, great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great. So we might as well accept the greatness of the divinity of who we are and cleanse, because the body will cleanse anyway. The issue for us and why we've seen so many who have changed their diet still not get rid of the high blood pressure, still not lose the weight, still not understand the capacity that we have for exalted thought, exalted walk, and creative thought, you understand, is because we never cleansed. We never got the residues from the meat, the dairy, the eggs, the chicken, the fish, the alcohol, the tobacco, the sugar, the caffeine. We never got that stuff out of our tissues. We went for a vegan form of the same stuff that we grew up with, which is not cleansing. It's not oxygenating. It's not hydrating. It's not mineralizing, nor does it facilitate opening up the channels of elimination. So our liberation has to happen at the cellular level, and our integrity has to happen cellularly, integrity with the intelligence of existence and how we were designed. And we're out of integrity with that because our cells and our blood should not bear the rot of other creatures, nor should we be filled with intoxicants, poisons, behavior-modifying chemicals. Clean the blood and you clean the thought, the capacity for thought. And that's where we have left.
Thank you. I just wanted to take you back one step, because you talk about these behavior-modifying chemicals. Many times we don't realize that, as you had said earlier, that there's an intentional program to destroy us, and the death industry is working that program 24/7. One of the, I wouldn't say offshoots, but part of that program is our behavior is being modified by the chemicals that are in the food. And I just wanted you to say a word or two about that, because we're looking at these bizarre behaviors amongst ourselves and wondering, you know, what has changed about us? Why are we behaving this way now when maybe 3 decades ago we weren't doing these things? Say a little something about this behavior modification that we are seeing the results of, but I don't know that we are fully understanding where it's coming from.
Exactly. Now, in order to eat any flesh, all right, now this is the reality. We've all heard the life is in the blood. The life is in the blood. The thing that we would get from an animal, we would have to get it from its blood if the intention was greater vitality or whatever for with us. What they have us doing is feeding from the carcass. And the carcass is shot up with nitrates and nitrites and things to preserve it, because once there is no breathing spirit within it, it has to decay. And in order to stop and prevent the rot and the deterioration of the flesh before it's in our bellies, they pump it up with all of these chemicals. Now, food has a real shelf life, so anything that can sit on shelves indefinitely has to have some things with it. Because we are 80% water, hydrogen and oxygen, electromagnetic frequencies and energies, you understand, then we have to have life. We have to have that which is nutritionally edifying for us. The chemicals that are in this stuff that is food has put us in a place where we have become glib about our right to undermine ourselves. When the nature of intelligence, And we're having to get beyond being black people and white people and Africans and this and that to just get to the place of being intelligences of existence. And intelligence, I don't care what form it is in, intelligence always exalts a full effort in its living. It does nothing to undermine itself. It knows its food. It excretes its waste. It knows its kind. It perpetuates itself. It mates. Mm-hmm. And it has the sense to respond when it senses that its life is being threatened. We are seeing that our behavior has been modified because we're no longer functioning as intelligences of existence. We feel entitled to do things that are not in our best interest, and we feel entitled to do things that are truly detrimental to ourselves. We don't know our food. We're not excreting our waste. This is where the obesity comes in. We're not mating. We're not managing and cultivating marriages, right? Abortion is the number one killer of us as a people, before heart disease and cancer. We're not responding correctly to being warred against. We work on behalf of the meat, dairy, eggs, chicken, fish, alcohol, tobacco, and sugar industries. We've become complicit and complacent and co-conspirating with our own genocide. That's the evidence of the behavior modification, because in the real world, in life itself, the truth of who and what we are as the personification of divinity, we would never be killing ourselves or believing in death when we're already on a planet that is 80% water spinning in eternity. Those chemicals are still in our systems, but we can get them out. But we cannot continue to eat meat, dairy, eggs, chicken, and fish and reverse disease. So at this particular point, we have to look at the heart disease. We have to look at the cancer rate. We have to look at the obesity. We have to look at the high blood pressure. We have to look at the sarcoidosis. We have to look at the hypothyroidism. We have to look at all of the diseases that are affecting our people and know that it is the evidence of accumulated waste in our bodies. Get rid of the waste. Hydrate, oxygenate, mineralize, alkalize, and open up all channels of elimination consistently, daily, over time, and we can reverse our issues. But we still have to activate
How quick is that reversal in your experience?
It happens. Depending on the intensity of the intention. You understand, when you're half-hearted and half-assed about a thing, then of course it's going to take you longer and you may not even get there, all right? But when you have an intense desire, I've been communicating and talking to a lot of people lately, right? And some have known, have been aware of me. But now they are really taking me serious. because of what they are experiencing in their own lives. So now what they're experiencing after a week, the depression isn't there. After a week, the bowels are moving. After a week, they've already lost 10 pounds. You understand? And then because I provide and have so much online content, you kind of get that spirit fired up. You understand? I give affirmations. I give audio files because we have to remember that there is power in our word when we are speaking the truth, the power, and then this is how the word becomes flesh, because the waters of the cells are holding the frequency and the vibration. But if we're not really intentional in affirming and declaring the truth of who we be as these points of this I am presence, and being able to say, I am completely healed, I am completely whole, I am cleared and cleansed and purified. You understand? So we're activating all of our faculties to see ourselves whole, to see ourselves free, to see ourselves liberated. Because the spirit that is in the body is of God. And the body is perfectly and divinely designed so that when we are harmonized and reconciled in the truth of the knowing of self and forgive ourselves for our violations, our transgressions, our resentments, we have to let that shit go. Let it go. So that we can be restored. The anger, the frustration. Go ahead.
Go ahead.
I was going to say the
anger, the frustration,
the pissation, the resentment. You understand? These things crystallize in our tissues. People don't get it.
Mm-hmm.
But the alcohol and the tobacco and the flesh make you mad. It keeps you angry. And then there's so many of us who are so sensitive that we're depressed because we're eating the flesh of animals that were held captive and abused their entire little lives. So that flesh has their fear. It has their frustration. It has their anguish. It has their pain. You understand? And then we bring that into our bodies and then pour alcohol and tobacco and stuff on it, and we're a walking mess. Even
hold that thought right there, Sister Dhamma. We got a caller on the line. Caller, the last three numbers, 3440. We're going to open your line. Please tell us your name and where you're calling from and make your comment or ask your question. Caller, last four numbers, 3440. Your line is open.
Yeah, greetings, Sister Adamas. Good to hear from you and Brother Arias. Auntie, as always, this is Brother Shabaka. I'm calling from South Florida, and I guess what you described and the behavior, and particularly the sicknesses that that we see in our people, you know, could probably go into the 90s, maybe high 90s, which tells me that for 45 to 50 million people, we have a task. What do you see as probably some critical things that you yourself are doing that maybe Ulu could do to maybe have some sort of an impact in redirecting our people to appropriate and good health?
I think that it's necessary. Thank you. It's necessary for each one to take responsibility for leadership in their own lives. Because, see, we've been theorizing, philosophizing, organizing, and all of this, but we've not done the inner work. I've always been about doing empowerment circles and whatnot to try to get people on the same page of respecting the divinity of their being and consciously caring to cleanse. All right? What we've done, we've changed our diet, but we still did not cleanse. We have not consecrated our bodies for the re-enthronement of the true spirits of the living God and goddesses. That is our truth. That means that we should be loving that which is beating our hearts and breathing us, that which is blazing the sun, that which has given us the experience of the capacity for knowing, for intellect, for dance, for celebration, for family, for love, for procreation. You understand? We should be loving God with our whole body, heart, mind, with all of our might, wherever we are. We should be in a place and space where it matters to us that we walk an exalted walk on behalf of all of those who could not, on behalf of all of those spirits that were last lost in between the middle passage, on behalf of those who were marginalized once we got here, on behalf of the ones who are hung and beaten and raped. We should have a greater regard for all of the lives that came before us so that we walk an exalted walk. But we cannot eat from our slave masters and eat the way that they eat and drink what they drink and whatnot and be a free people. And as a result of having dealt with that for so much, then we have to cleanse. We have to care.
So you're saying
to open up all channels of elimination so this stuff can get out of us.
As Brother Shabaka said, I mean, if we're talking in the millions of our people, if each one of us takes responsibility for ourselves, and in other words, each person says, okay, I'm going to take myself by the scruff of my own neck, and I'm going to change my behavior and not only change my diet, but cleanse this body of the filth that I have ingested for the last 40, 50 years. And you're saying that work alone will start a real movement towards actual liberation. And without taking those steps, we're just kind of beating our gums together.
Right. We're just spinning our wheels. You understand? It's kind of like you treading water. You ain't going nowhere. You haven't completely drowned, but you're going to get tired. You understand? You'll be dead in a little bit.
Look, I want to take a break, but before I get to that break, I want you to address the question of success and purpose, because a lot of us are on the treadmill or on the hamster wheel, struggling, striving for success, no clue as to what our purpose is, and have this very erroneous notion of what success is. So hit that, and then we're going to take a break, and then we're going to come back on the other side of the break and talk about life currency and the paper currency and how we fall into that trap. And then we're going to talk a little bit more about our own divinity. So help us to think about, in a different way, a different definition of success and really what our purpose is, because I think there's confusion on those two questions.
Right, right. We're having to realize that European culture, imperialism, colonialism, capitalism has not set a precedent for purpose in life. So our becoming, you know, the pawns and the commodities within those systems of sickness, illness, disease, and death, it could not be purpose-filled at all. Purpose in existence, purpose upon the planet, is to self-actualize, self-realize, to be harmonized with the laws of existence, self-mastery, because self is God. There's
right
only
there.
One self.
You're saying that purpose is not making a lot of money? Am I hearing you?
Exactly. Purpose is in walking in the wealth of the divinity of self, in harmony with the laws that govern existence itself, to the glory and in the name and honor of that which is beating our hearts and the lineages through whom we've come. We are the progenitor and the perpetuator of lineages of people. So from the time we were typed female and then male in our mother's womb, the destiny was becoming womb men and men, the perpetuator and the progenitor of lineages of people. We should have never been poisoned. Purpose in life is exalting life. Purpose in life is living life, exalting life, loving life, you know, creating and becoming the art. A lot of people, I've seen so many ones, you know, they think more of their art than they do themselves. They think more of their cars than they do their body. They invest more in their physical houses where their stores, where their things are stored and where they refresh themselves than the body, which is their vehicle and housing their spirit. That's a trick. So purpose and real success is being harmonized with the will of existence in the exaltation of life and the glory of life. And walking in the intelligence of who you are as supreme being personified in a physical body in the temporal realm that is still in eternity, and to walk as conscious immortals. Because they didn't give us that memo. That memo came because there are those who have been talking about it, but you see the ones who talked about it, the Neville Goddards, the Joseph Murphys, the Charles Fillmore, and Reverend Ike. And you understand, these ones, they talked about it, but they never discussed the methodology of our oppression. And nobody's ever talked about the methodology of our liberation. And I'm the one that's bringing it.
Uh-huh.
Boycott the industries.
Okay. We're gonna take a quick break, and on the other side of the break, we're gonna talk about life currency and paper currency. Don't touch that dial. Stay right there. Family, we're back. If you're just joining us, we're talking with the heraldess, Sister Adama from Adama Speaks. She's been on the airwaves at least 17 years on WRFG in Atlanta, Georgia. Her program is called Sometimes Rough, Rugged, and Raw. And she brings to us vital information about how we get to real liberation by changing our diets. I think she said fruits, vegetables, and detoxing, cleansing the body, because we're holding all of the poisons that we ever ingested. And until we detox, we don't get the full benefit of changing our diet. Before we went to break, she was talking about success and purpose. And let's open up with a question or a comment from a caller with the last four numbers. 0465. Caller, we're opening your line. Please tell us your name and where you're calling from. Last four numbers, 0465.
Hello?
You're there. Go ahead.
How are
you this evening?
Jerry Dean calling from Mitchellville, Maryland.
Good to hear you. You have a comment or a question for Sister Adama?
No, I actually just tuned in, so I haven't even heard her speak on anything.
Okay. Well, you had your hand up. That's why.
Oh, that was a mistake.
I'm
sorry. Yeah.
Okay.
All right.
Well, sit back and enjoy the program. So, Sister Adama, one of the things that we and Uplifting Us are very mindful of is the whole issue of money and what is real wealth, and how do we translate our wealth into a currency that we control. And you said some very interesting things about life currency and paper currency. I think our audience would benefit tremendously from hearing you talk a little bit more about that.
Okay, no problem. When we look at sugar, the cotton, tobacco, the gold, the oil, the copper, the bauxite, the platinum, uranium, the other gems and whatnot, most of this is coming to the surface of the earth through the life currency expenditure of Black people throughout the diaspora. Coffee, cocoa, right? So we have a life currency that is animated, maintained, and sustained by our breath and the elements that are in the air. And that's why I say the intelligence of existence is all pervasive. It fills all spaces. There is nowhere where it is not. It is beating our hearts and breathing us. It is the source that cannot be depleted. It is that which is our source. All right? Now, the methodology of our oppression to oppress us at our cellular functioning and to fill our lungs, which are the organ of our spirit, with mucus and worms and organisms and whatnot, is to suppress our capacity for being current, right? Current, present in the presence of the absolute. So we have this life currency, and we're expending our life currency for paper currency at our jobs or our production, our work, you know, your services, your products, your employment. You're expending your life currency for and receiving a paper currency called money. Right, and now they're trying to move it into a digital currency that you're still having to buy with your paper currency and generate from your life currency. The issue for us is that we have taken that paper currency and we've bought and consumed that which undermines our life currency so that there's less of us. So by the time you look at a person who is retiring, who's been on the job or has been gainfully employed in the trade and services of their life currency, and then they're retiring at 65, at 67, 68. Their life currency, for all intents and purposes, has been spent because they did not know to invest their paper currency into increasing, enhancing, magnetizing, magnifying, amplifying, and increasing their life currency. So we've been practicing impoverishment because we're dealing with a mentality of people who feel as though the things of the world have more value, things that they create. And we've kind of bought into that. Polished wood, metal, and stone are the things that kind of separate those who have and those who have not. But the issue for us is understanding that we are always in the abundance of life currency. We can handle as much as we can make room for. That's why we want to clear and cleanse and purify, because there is no wealth that can be created by man that is greater and has more value than who and what we've already been given. So you could take all of the money that has ever been printed, all of the coin that has ever been minted, put it all together, and it does not have the value of one beat of our heart or one breath that we take. So our being able to flip the script of feeling as though we're impoverished and we lack. We stop supporting the meat, dairy, egg, chicken, fish, alcohol, tobacco, sugar industry. Stop spending our money in those places and invest in ourselves so that we are learning the process of really establishing and walking in the true wealth of the divinity of ourselves, which is so far beyond money. Money hasn't always existed. Now we're distracted with it. We have more value for the money than we have for our hearts. We have more value for cigarettes and tobacco than we have for our lungs. We have more value for the Hennessy and the cognac and the fine alcohol more than we have value for our bloodstream. I'm saying this is a trick. This is not an original thought. This is behavior modification. This is the result of being under capitalism and commercialism and imperialism and being commodified in the system of sickness, illness, disease, and death. So we can flip this script, but we cannot believe and think that our lives are supposed to be lived in sickness and suffering and disease. and then we've invested so much of our life currency in debt. So now we have to understand how the law is working. You get what you ask for, you get what you apply yourself to. But when you have been in error, then it's necessary to admit the error and repent from it, the activities of it, and then invest in yourself, the cleansing, the purification, the renewal, the rebirth, the revitalization, to understand that when you have been socialized under the forces of Satan, the organized religion that all roads lead to Rome, the forces of Lucifer, the governments that vie for selection and election so that they can make rules and games of agreement and statutes that oppress the people, or the forces of the devil, Coca-Cola, Burger King, McDonald's, the flesh peddlers, the alcohol peddlers, you understand. When you've been under them for generations, our only salvation and liberation comes in the cleanliness and the order that allows the Spirit of God to be re-enthroned in its temple that we prepare through the clearing and the cleansing of our bodies. We heard when we were coming up, salvation comes through the blood of Christ. They say, oh, salvation comes with the blood of Jesus. I'm saying, no, we have the responsibility of creating a bloodstream that bears no violation of violated beings, no inebriants, no intoxicants, no artificial colors and flavors and this and that, and it is charged with the frequency of the minerals, the air, the sun, the waters, the earth, so that we are walking the face of this earth in the consciousness of who we are and who we were born to be, as these points of the presence of God. With the righteousness, the right alignment, the right mind, it's like the prodigal children returning home. Home is the mind of God, the heart of God, the ability to function as the hands of God lifting. There is no greater wealth and success than being completely harmonized with the divinity of existence, the laws of existence, the love of being, and to be in a place where our very presence is the evidence of the establishment of the kingdoms and queendoms of light and the eternal order.
So if we're hearing you correctly, then you're saying that when we cleanse and when we detox and when we purify and when we get all of the toxins out of our bodies and we really take seriously this business of exalting the urge of life, that we then become bearers of light, or we become transformed beings that can build a different society.
Absolutely,
something like that.
And we have the responsibility to do it, because the way that the death culture is functioning, you see, it's not sustainable. You understand? There isn't anything, I can tell you right straight forward, there is nothing that is guaranteed success upon this planet except for the establishment of the kingdoms and queendoms of God through the consecration, the purification of our bodies, our hearts, our minds, our lives, our souls, so that we are exalting a full effort in our living, but we are in harmony with the exalted spirit world. The earth is about as big as a period at the end of a sentence in relationship to the eternity in which we're in. The spiritual worlds are vast. So when we talk about our ancient, you understand, our exalted ones, you understand, we were told to knock and ask and seek. There were things that we were given. The way that we become brilliant, so that we can outthink a people who really are not a thinking people. You could not possibly be thinking well to think that there is some success and some prosperity in killing everything and everybody. I mean, you understand, when there's absolute law, what you do unto others will be done unto you. Really? So that's how you walk in this? You're gonna marginalize, anesthetize, inebriate, intoxicate, poison the earth, poison this, and your children are not going to be affected by it? Your grandchildren are not going to be affected by it? There is no such thing as white supremacy. What we're dealing with is stupidity and idiocy on crack. Because of the filth that is charged upon your bloodstream. Ain't no way in hell you could be thinking a right thought when you're that stupid.
Sister
so,
Dhamma,
so let's begin to call it what it is.
Absolutely. You have given us much to think about, and you have certainly taken our whole understanding of liberation to a much deeper level. And you've given us the responsibility, if we're serious about liberation, of taking the first step of taking charge of our own bodies and making them the temples of divinity. But we are out of time, and we haven't even scratched the surface of what you need to share with us. We will definitely have to have you back very soon. We said that the last time, and it would look like we spent 8-9 months. Wait, it won't be that long next time. Family, we are glad that you tuned in. We want to remind everyone that mark your calendars. March 10th, 11th, and 12th of 2023 will be the Us Lifting Us annual members meeting and convention. It'll be a virtual meeting. So again, you'll be seeing more information about that on our website, usliftingus.com, usliftingus.com. Please visit our website, check us out. If that makes sense to you, hit the join button, and we will send you additional information. Sister Adama, before you go, give us a contact number where people who want to touch in with you can reach you for continued support, because we all need it.
The number for life support is 678-760-9299. You can access more of my content tonight. I'm on at midnight, wrfg.org, midnight Eastern, from midnight to 3. Otherwise, in Apple Podcasts, iTunes Podcasts, just put in Adama Speaks, Spotify, YouTube, Adama Speaks. Otherwise, you can call me directly, leave me a text, email at Mother Earth's Blessing at Gmail, or Adama Speaks at Gmail. And we're housed physically at 1830 678-760-9299, and we're housed at Mother Earth's Blessing, 1830 Cheshire Bridge Road, Northeast Atlanta, 30324. Thank you so much, brother.
Thank you, family, and thank you, as always, Adama, for sharing with us. We appreciate you more than you know.
Family,
we'll be back on that Thursday, 9 o'clock, right here. Everybody, you know,
There was my heart, how I yearn for their spirit's return, and I cry as time flies. There is a place where love will always shine, and rainbows are the shadows of a love that's so divine, and the glow of that love will light the sky up above, and it's free. Can't you see? Come with me. The Creator has a master plan, peace and happiness for every man. The Creator has